And our guest is Zach Hook from Decatur, Indiana. Zach was in China at the beginning of this whole thing. He was looking at everything happening from their perspective, and he's on the phone with us right now. Zach, good morning.
Morning.
How in the world, Zach, did you end up in China? I understand you're a history and politics teacher, and you wanted to see the country, and so you ended up teaching English, right?
Yeah, I kind of got my foot in the door as an English teacher. I moved there right out of college at 23 years old. So I sort of went there just to learn about China, not to become a teacher. It was just a means to sort of live in a rising, interesting country for a while. I never intended to be there for 8 years, but you sort of...
Wow.
One thing leads to another.
Now, did you come back specifically because of the pandemic?
I did. I would normally be there right now. I'm still teaching online. I kind of fled out of there once they started canceling, or once countries started banning flights from China. I started to worry that I would get stuck there, so I got out.
Well, what were you seeing over there while you were still there, you know, because things were happening over there before they got to the United States. So what kinds of things were you seeing in the news or hearing about while you were there?
Okay, so I'll say that I left for a short vacation to Vietnam just a couple days before things really kicked off and started getting crazy. And then I returned like a day or two after Wuhan was shut. So when I left on, I think, like January 18th, something like that, Everything was still normal. For reference, I left the airport and like the Starbucks and the airport was all busy. When I came back, the airport was all dead. It was a completely different environment, you know, like biohazard zone, you know. And then I left again a week later and that airport was completely empty. There was not a single person in like any of the Starbucks or the shops. There was like three people on my whole flight. I went to the Philippines first. So what I can say is that I was there for about 1 week while everything was on total lockdown and, you know, it was sort of being treated like a biohazard zone. And at that point, everybody was kind of voluntarily locking themselves away.
Mm-hmm.
Most businesses were closed, except for pharmacies and grocery stores, convenience stores. But I think people were just sort of taking their own cautions, putting water bottles on their heads and crazy stuff like that, too.
What do you think about the way that people are going to view, like, going to China or the country itself because of this? And they're blaming China for what is happening to us over here and around the world, really. Do you think, how long do you think it'll take them to recover?
It could be hard for them to recover because they still have a very export-oriented economy. And I think in the long term, people are going to want to move the supply chain a little bit from there. So on an economic level, that could be difficult. But the blame is going both ways. The xenophobia seen towards foreigners in China right now is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Oh,
it's a big reason why I don't want to go back.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they're banning foreigners from a lot of restaurants. In the city I used to live in Guangzhou, the third largest city in China, it has a massive African population. I believe at one time the largest African population of any city outside of Africa. And they're being kicked out of their homes, not allowed to be in their communities they've lived in for a long time. Not a good situation. So I don't know. I think that relations could sour between China and the U.S. for a while. I mean, I plan to move to Taiwan next year, so I'm kind of done with mainland China at this point.
Let me ask you this. Since you were in that region, why do you think South Korea was so successful and they didn't have to shut? They didn't shut down the country like we are, right, in South Korea?
That's right. So South Korea's lockdowns have been less stringent, but they were on top of it almost immediately. They had a whole system in place of testing and tracing, and they have mask wearing customs and everything else, right? So they were testing right away. They were tracing right away. Frankly, they were all just taking it seriously. South Korea and the U.S. had their first case on the same day, which would have been like 3 weeks before I returned to the U.S. And I would say for about a month, after I returned to the U.S., people were still saying that it was just the flu. It's not a big deal. I'm not worried about it.
I was watching a news thing the other day. The timeline is amazing. I mean, back at, I remember the Home and Garden show. We were out there and it was like, oh, yeah. Well, that's just the flu. And then like when I think when they closed, they stopped the NBA season and they stopped the NCAA tournament. I think that's when everything hit everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I said that in another interview that I did a couple months ago, that was sort of the aha, this is serious moment. But yeah, before that, it wasn't. I went into a bank to open an account not like a couple weeks before that. And I said that I had been in China, but don't worry, I've been out of China for almost a month now. He says, oh, I'm not worried about it. It's just the flu. And then he said, oh, wait, you probably know more about it than me. So I said, I don't think China is going to lock down 50 million people and shoot their economy in the foot for the flu, but maybe.
They did. Yeah. They yeah, sure did. So. Well, Zach, thanks for talking to us. Just amazing insights. It's not often you talk to somebody who lives or in this area who's in China when this all started. So thank you, and stay safe down there.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You too. Take care.
Jumpstart your morning with Jim, Carrie, and Angie on Classic Hits 101.7.